Hi guys, this is Evie. I'm just popping in before this episode all about the Olympic team event gets started, just to say that since this episode has been recorded, a story has developed around legal issues with the event that the ISU and IOC are still in discussions around that has resulted in the postponement of the medal ceremony a couple times. At this time, no official confirmation has been made around the issues in question, but we'd just like to make you aware that something's going on. We will, as always, share any further news or announcements as they happen on our Twitter. With all that being said, please enjoy the episode.
Very probably the best figure skate ever.
You're in the loop. We're here to discuss the ups, downs, and sideways of the sport of figure skating, and maybe give you plus 5 GOE along the way. Let's introduce this week's hosts. Hi, I'm Yogita, and I have already ranted about Olympic figure skating to all of my coworkers.
Hello, I'm Neve, and I've not properly slept in about 2 weeks, and the Olympics are only starting.
Oh boy, oh boy. Welcome to the start of our Olympic coverage. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Can you believe it's the Olympics already?
No.
One of my, like, my first memories with you, Yogs, is, like, Olympics 2018.
Yeah. That's, like, how I met, I think how most of us met was through my rabbits of Olympics 2018. Well, let's actually talk about the team event. So, for those who don't know, the team event was first introduced during the Sochi Olympics in 2014 and consists of 10 countries competing across all 4 disciplines to accumulate points between 1 through 10. After the short program, the top 5 countries overall move on to compete in the free for the Olympic medals. Countries have the opportunity to swap skaters between the short and the free a maximum of 2 times. In the case of this event, Team USA swapped skaters in both the free for both the men's and the dance events, and thus had to keep the same teams for women's and pairs.
And the following countries that qualified to compete in the team event in Beijing were the USA, Russian Olympic Committee, Japan, Canada, China, Ukraine, Italy, Georgia, the Czech Republic, and Germany. So in the past 2 Olympics, it was been required that in order to compete in the team event, every country must have at least 1 skater in each discipline. These rules have been relaxed for this event due to the COVID pandemic, which means because countries haven't had the same opportunities to go and qualify for the Olympics. So it allowed countries to compete if they were missing a team due to a positive COVID test as well. The event has been a bit of a COVID mess, so we had Keegan Messing of Canada missing the team event due to not being able to get there in time.
Unfortunate.
So Roman Sadovsky had the fill-in.
Ivan Shmurek, though, tested positive for COVID, also forcing him to miss the men's short, as he was the only men's skater for Ukraine. Ukraine was only able to compete in 3 of the 4 disciplines. I also feel really bad for Ivan because he tested negative the day after the men's short.
I know.
Really, truly heartbreaking.
At least it'll be okay for the individuals.
Nolan Siegert of Germany also tested positive for COVID, forcing him and his partner to sit out the pairs event. So, the medalists, to no one's surprise, Russia in gold, USA in silver, and Japan in bronze. The first team event medal for Japan, actually. So, yay Japan!
Woo.
Let's talk about the Russian Olympic Committee's decisions to not maximize gold medals for their team. They sent the same 4 skaters to both the short and the free, which seems like not the smartest decision for Russia, in my opinion. Especially for their skaters.
It seems like odd considering that Russia has so much strength in each discipline that even in like men's, like Mark, Zhenya, and like Muzalev are like similar levels that like no matter who they send, probably will work out the same. It's not as if they had like one standout in each.
Well, I think part of it is that Russia got scared after the short because they weren't in first after the short. The U.S. were surprisingly in first, which was an unexpected surprise. So they really went out and were like, we need to maximize all the points we can get in the free in order to win.
But even before the event started, there had been rumors in Russian media that they weren't substituting for days.
I don't know. Part of it was no one really really knows. I heard that, like, Anna and Sasha were unaware, like, until the day of the free, whether or not they would be skating the free. So it's just Russia, man. But we did get, like, some exciting programs from Russia. Do you want to talk about Mark, Neve?
Yes, let's talk about our Jesus Christ. the one program from the Olympics so far that has went viral has been Mark's free skate. And I can only say that the locals have got it right.
Honestly, really, really impressed with Mark's Olympic debut. Like, his trajectory this season has been remarkable, and I'm super happy for him, super happy that he is here and is getting to live his dream. But I'm also very confused by how Mark lands anything.
You know what? When you're skating to the music of whips, it doesn't matter.
His jump technique is terrifying. I saw, like, his quad technique. His axis was completely off. I don't know how he landed that, Neve. I don't know if he just doesn't have... He just, like, warps physics.
It's the Holy Spirit just protecting him. So for anyone that doesn't know Mark's, like, trajectory and his career thus far, so a year and a half ago, he was an alternate for Russian nationals. Only made it in because his best friend, Artur Danilian, withdrew because of injury. Ended up getting bronze. And this season he's upgraded it to gold. He then won at Europeans. And now he's a genuine contender for Olympic medal. And he deserves.
Yeah, I'm just really impressed with how well he was able to stand up to the pressure that is the Russian Federation. And managed to put out two remarkable programs. So good on you, Mark. Moving on, Tsnitsina and Katsalapov, who both had pretty surprising finishes here. They lost the rhythm dance to Hubble and Donahue because Nikita made a mistake. And then they also surprisingly lost the free dance to Chakum Bates. So they ended up not gaining the momentum that they really needed to score well in the individual event. So it is actually kind of up in the air whether or not they will actually podium in the individual events, even though coming into the Olympics, I really have put them as, like, the main contender for gold.
Yeah, because now both the American teams both have somewhat more momentum. And then obviously Papadakis and Cizeron, we haven't seen them since the Grand Prix. It will be an interesting dance event, which is somewhat... I haven't said that in a while.
It's exciting to not know what the dance podium is ahead of time, right? Because, like, usually I go into any dance event and I can tell you immediately what the podium will be. But I don't know what the podium for the Olympics are going to be, so that's kind of exciting.
Some, like, dance events, you could probably tell, like, work out the finishing order from, like, start to finish before it's even started.
It was a weird decision by the Russian Olympic Committee to not split the dance event here, especially since Nikita has been suffering from a back injury, and they really needed to maximize the opportunity to podium in the individual event here. Stepanova and Bukin are not here in Beijing yet, which is a surprise. And I believe that probably the other team that is here, Davis and Smolkin, I don't think Russia trusted them. The Russian Federation trusted them to get the results they needed for gold. So we had to see Snitsina and Katsalapov here again. Very interesting decisions from Russia. Another interesting decision is having Kamila Valieva skate the short and the free, because they didn't need her to. She only needed to skate the short. Anna and Sasha both could have skated the free and still secured them the 10 points. It doesn't make any sense to have made Kamila do both events, both stressing her out and putting all that pressure on her, especially since she didn't end up making a mistake in the free and fell on her quad toe, which is a mistake that I haven't seen her do very often. She was very visibly upset after that program as well, and I'm just concerned.
It just felt like a bit of a strange decision when the ROC could have came away with all three of the ladies being gold medalists. There is a scenario where all three of them could have been gold medalists.
Yeah. Anna could have done the short. Sasha could have done the free. I don't know. It's all bad decision making. And finally, Michonneau and Galyumov, who lost the short to Swain Han and fell off of their lift in the free skate. This is another team that I think we could have seen Tarasova and Morozov here to do the free over having them do both events. And I think, like, in one mind, I understand that, like, after they lost the short to Swain Han, they probably wanted to give Mishina and Galyumov more momentum. Ideally, they would have skated a clean free, got the momentum for her to get a really high score in the individual event. And unexpectedly, the fall really actually kind of, like, pushed them downwards. I think their performance really suffered. I think overall, they didn't seem as clean as they have been, like, all season in the free. And I probably would have put them in second to Mira and Kihara here, but they were first.
I wonder if Mishina and Galyumov had won the short, whether they would have switched out for Tarasova and Morozov just to try to get both of them the momentum going into the individual.
Well, who knows what Russian Fed would do, but I think that probably would have been a smart idea.
And talking about Mishina and Galyumov's free, we do need to talk about athlete safety in this sport. Mishina and Galyumov did have a fall in the free on their final lift, and it was scary. And the fact that the medics team didn't greet them off the ice or check for concussions. Now, obviously, we don't know how, like, whether post competition they've been checked or how that's been about. But considering it seemed like both of them might have hit their heads, you would think that the IOC and the ISU should have had someone there that would have checked them immediately coming off the ice, just to be safe. It's also the first time that we've seen Mishina and Galyumov make a mistake of this severity in competition. So I do wonder how this will affect their momentum going into the individual event, considering they lost the short program to Swai Han, and they've had a major mistake that they don't usually make in the free skate.
Okay, let's move on to our silver medalist, Team USA. Let's begin with Nathan Chen, the one and only. I am very happy for Nate, all things considering.
Considering what happened the last team event for him, I'm glad that, like, things went okay.
Well, it went more than okay. Like, he set an Olympic record. And he really got redeemed himself from the team event from Pyeongchang. I'm really happy he got his redemption skate. I am kind of disappointed with the scoring, but I am happy for him, and he has really great momentum going forward into the individual event after doing extremely well here. So we'll see how things go there. Now, unfortunate news with Vincent Zhou, who I am very happy that he at least got to skate at the Olympics, and he has his silver medal, so he'll always be an Olympic medalist. But it is unfortunate that his winning the team event medal has been overshadowed by the news that he's tested positive for COVID and thus has had to withdraw from the men's individual event. It kind of really sucks because, like, it sounds like he's been super careful, isolating himself literally all month, like, interacting with nobody.
I know Evan Bates had said that he'd been eating, like, in the canteen alone, and Jason's one of his podmates, and, like, they haven't seen each other since they arrived in Beijing other than practices, despite sharing a common room.
It is very unfortunate. I know that there's a lot of, like, news sources that have been saying, like, oh no, oh, he let Team USA down and because of his free skate, but he did perfectly well.
They weren't going to win anyway.
He did what he had to do. He's always been a carrot farmer. We've always known this. He's going to get under rotation calls. It's just who he is. But, like, he did it. He went out. He did his best. I really love his free skate. It's one of my favorite programs this season. So I'm glad he had the opportunity to at least share it in Beijing. And hopefully we'll see him at Worlds and he'll have a chance to put on the performances that he couldn't perform here.
I did at the beginning question the USFSA's decision to have him do the free, because the free has been an issue for him his last few outings at competitions. But either way, the USA still got their silver medal, and I'm glad he got a chance to skate on the Olympic stage again.
I do think that the Team USA made the right choice in sending Nate to do the short, because for the way the team event works is that you need to put your strongest attackers in the short, because that's how you confirm you get into the free, and then you defend in the free. So sending Nate to do the short was the right decision for Team USA. Okay, Hubble and Donahue, who won the rhythm dance. So yay them. If you had told me in 2018 that I would be rooting for Hubble and Donahue, I would be questioning your sanity, but here I am. Honestly, in like a season that has been riddled with not really great programs, especially in dance, like Hubble and Donahue's programs are honestly some of my favorites. So I'm very excited to see them here. And their win in rhythm dance really like puts them forward in momentum for scoring well in the individual. So,
and we also have Chalk and Bates, who done the free dance. It was a choice letting them do the skate, considering both Maddie and Evan have been having like back injuries and spasm issues throughout the season. Probably would have been better to let Hubble and Donahue do both segments and instead switch to skaters maybe in pairs. Also, Hubble and Donahue have a risky lift in the free dance that I personally would have liked for them to test out before going into the individual, so that they could work through it in training and sort it out if it was called.
I think this was mostly politics at play. Both Hubble and Donahue and Chalk and Bates do not have Olympic medals. They've both been extremely strong competitors for Team USA over the past two quads, and I think this was USFSA's opportunity to give them Olympic medals. And I don't disagree with the decision to give them both this composition, team composition, was exactly what I expected to see from Team USA for the team event. I was not surprised that they split dance and men, but it's a better decision than at least ROC's decision, because at least they are like splitting the teams here.
They're giving their skaters a break.
And Karen, Olympic several medalist Karen Chen.
It's what she deserves.
I am so happy she got her redemption skate in the free, because she fell on her loop in the short and obviously didn't put out the performance that she wanted to, but she definitely brought it for the free skate. I don't care about jumps. I don't care about under rotations. Karen Chen doesn't need jumps. She performs. It was curious to me that they chose to send Karen to the team event, though. Because while Karen does have the highest world standings, Mariah Bell was the national champion, and Alyssa has the highest scoring potential. But Alyssa wasn't even in Beijing until halfway through the team event. Apparently Karen was actually told, like, probably after US Nats, that she was going to be the pick for the team event. So I am really curious why that Team USA made that decision, but I'm overjoyed by Olympic silver medalist Karen Chen, who keeps saving Team USA's spots for the Olympics, so she deserves it.
I did wonder if, like, maybe the choice to have Karen was because Alyssa obviously got COVID during US Nationals and Mariah got it shortly after US Nationals. But then when it came out that Karen was told last month, I was like, oh, that doesn't really make sense with, like, the timing of Mariah getting it. So, who knows?
Once again, I think this is partially politics at play, because Karen has been the backbone of Team USA for the past two quads. I don't regret this decision from Team USA. Okay, Team Japan winning their first medal in the team event.
Shout out to Japan.
I'm kind of like laughing though, because everyone's like, oh my god, first medal. But this is like the third team event that's ever happened. So it's like, yes, but also it's not like that historic. But regardless, Japan, Yuma Kageyama. This was honestly, I was like so worried about Yuma's program, because he was like drilling that quad loop in all of his practices, and just like the single loop was haunting me. But what a way to make your Olympic debut by breaking 200 for the first time internationally. Like, so few men have broken 200 internationally, and the fact that, like, Yuma's doing it in his second senior season at the Olympics, what an accomplishment. Yuma's kiss and cry reactions are always just, like, the highlight of any competition for me, too. Like, he has the best kiss and cry reaction. He's just so excited.
He's so, like, pure, like, genuinely happy about everything.
I do have, like, some questions about the judging, though, because his score was too high, in my opinion. You can vote like a skater and think they're overscored. But this was such a great opportunity for the momentum for Yuma going into the individual event. Like, he is a podium contender. I know that everyone's just going at the Yuzuru versus Nathan debate because that's who people care about, but Yuma's going to the podium, like, in my opinion. Like, all things going as they should, knock on wood. He is, like, definitely a dark horse contender for the podium, and I'm really excited to see what he does in the individual event.
And Japan's just in, like, a really good position going into the next quad with men, because Shoma has confirmed he's staying around. We don't know about Yuzuru yet. nobody knows about Hanyu.
Does Hanyu know about Hanyu?
I don't think so. But even, like, they have three very strong young talents with the potential to be world medalists. Yuma's already a world medalist, but Shun's also up there, and Kaomura.
Really exciting. I'm honestly so excited for the next quad. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm so excited for Yuma and Ilya.
Okay, Shoma. Shoma Uno, who rolls up to the Olympics coming off of an injury with no coach because his Lambiel tested positive and puts down the best short program of his career.
It's the fact that, like, people were concerned that Shoma wasn't going to make it for the team event because the thing on his YouTube channel that said about his injury. And then, like, he's the one that turns up, and Yuzu's, like, MIA.
Where is Hanyu? Anyway, we're not here to talk about Hanyu. Okay, Komatsubara and Coletto. So, this is more of a JSF debate than anything, because this is goes back all the way to the decision to send Komatsubara and Coletto over Muramoto and Takahashi. So, Team Japan lost the opportunity to win silver by 2 points. Points that Muramoto and Takahashi could have made up. And with standing scoring issues, because scores are subjective, you can't compare scores across competitions, etc., etc., there's really a politics and marketing story to really tell here, which I think is really important to talk about regarding Muramoto and Takahashi. Firstly, Kana Muramoto has been a backbone of Japanese ice dance since her debut in 2015. She was part of the team with Chris Reed that won Japan's first four continents medal in ice dance back in 2018. And I honestly, like, believe that she deserves an Olympic medal for everything she's done for ice dance in Japan. But even more importantly is Daisuke Takahashi. Daisuke Takahashi is a former Olympic medalist in men's single skating. He is a many times Japanese national champion. He is one of the most iconic figure skaters in Japan. And he switched to ice dance, which is something that we really haven't seen a former champion really do. Japan, the state of, like, ice dance in Japan is very disappointing. They haven't really had the opportunity to build a really good ice dance program. And while they have an amazing singles program, and they have, like, so they have dozens of amazing male and female skaters who are just not reaching the top in singles, but could have the potential to do really, really well in dance, because Japanese skaters have such great components, which are at the backbone of, like, dance. And seeing someone like Daisuke Takahashi, who was a single skater, switch to dance and then podium at the Olympics would have been such amazing marketing for ice dance in Japan, and such an amazing encouragement to show, like, other young skaters that, hey, it's not just like single skating that you can do well in. It's dance as well. And I think this was a really good opportunity that JSF really missed out on to showcase dance in Japan and really start building out a really good dance program following Muramoto and Takahashi's success. It's kind of really unfortunate. I feel very strongly about the ants dance in Japan. I'm very passionate about Kana Muramoto and the fact that she deserves to be an Olympic medalist. And yeah, I just think that it was the wrong decision. I know that Matsubara and Kaneda were chosen because they won Japanese nationals, and that's fair, but I think that the JSF should have taken a look at the more bigger holistic picture before choosing the team's ascent just based on the results from one competition.
And hopefully they can get the second spot at Worlds. Shall we move on to Wakaba and Kaori?
Yes.
So Wakaba is another skater that has went viral with the locals, which she deserves. We love that for her. I'm waiting for them to react to her Lion King program. I'm also a bit confused on why they didn't have Wakaba do the three, considering the quality of her Lion King program and also the opportunity it would have given her to practice the triple axel.
But on the flip side, I guess it's a balancing game. Like, if Wakaba misses her triple axel in the team event, how would that have put forward in the individual event? So it's a balancing game. I'm like, obviously, like, Wakaba and Kaori were always going to be the two who made the team event here. So I think it worked out for both of them.
They both have their Olympic bronze medals.
Speaking of Kaori, it's not too late for you to switch back to the piano, Kaori.
Or the Matrix.
Alas, Benoit has his claws in her.
Set her free. So also for Japanese pairs, we have Miura and Kihara, who are just amazing, and they deserve everything in the world. They are genuinely the sweetest pair. Anyone, like, watching them finish their programs and just reacting to it and, like, congratulating each other and just... they're so sweet. I love them.
Also, shout out to Ryuichi for just carrying Japanese pairs for three quads. He's competed in every Olympics in Sochi in the team event. And honestly, I'm so happy that he's finally found real success with his team up with Riku. And they should have won the free, but, you know, robbery. Also, shout out to Riku's knee bend and her which saved that throw loop because it was amazing.
She always has like the loveliest running edges.
Yeah. I think the commentary on my stream was saying how much Riku loves the throw jumps so much. They're her favorite element, so makes sense. It was, like, super tight between US and Japan for silver. Japan ended up losing silver by two points. So it makes you wonder a bit about the team composition and also judging that could have made a difference here. Obviously, we've talked about sending Kana Muramoto and Daisuke Takahashi over Komatsubara and Kaneda would have probably gotten Japan two more points. If judging for pairs could have gone properly, we would have gotten more points for Miura and Kihara. So there's a lot in flux in this event. So Japan could have really gotten silver here. So I hope we continue to see the momentum in Team Japan grow, and maybe they might even win gold at the next Olympics. Okay, now we must sadly talk about Canada.
I think we should just end the podcast here.
I think we need to talk about Canada. We need to talk about Roman Sadovsky. He had to replace Keegan in the team event, who was stuck because Keegan was stuck in Canada due to his positive COVID tests. I believe Keegan was planned to do both the short and the free in the team event before he got stuck in Canada. So Roman was tapped to basically skate two more programs when he was not expecting to, and probably ended up with a lot of pressure on his shoulders to really do well here. He was not able to compete at his full potential. Roman's not the most consistent skater, but he's always a skater I really like to see, because when he brings it, he really does bring it, and he has some really lovely jumps when he does managed to bring it. And I really just want to give him a hug.
Yeah, it must have been extremely rough, like, going from probably not doing the team event at all to having to do 4 programs in 6 days. And I know he said in, like, interviews that he had been training for it, because you never know what's going to happen, if you mean.
Moving on to Gilles and Poirier. It's really interesting to see their scoring trajectory in the past few seasons, because they haven't really been scored. They used to score really high, and they haven't really been hitting that in this season. They didn't score as high as they needed to for their momentum into the individual event. They scored at 124 in the free here, but their, like, PB from, like, Worlds last year was 130. So that's 6 points that they are not making up here. I feel really bad saying this, but, like, their programs aren't great either.
I don't mind the Riven Dance, mostly just because I like the music. So, like, if I just, like, ignore the choreo, I can just kind of vibe.
I think they really peaked with Vincent, and it's really, Vincent is such a perfect program. I think it's one of, like, the perfect free dances that, like, we've ever had. And it's just really hard to, like, see someone with, like, a team with, like, such a great program and then, like, constantly try to live up to those programs but falling short. They really should have just recycled Vincent. Honestly, more teams should have recycled this season.
Probably, yeah. Vincent was so, it was so them, and, like, it was just perfect for them, and it's just a bit, everything's just kind of been a bit lackluster since.
I feel like their program here is just very safe, but it's not interesting. I feel like I've always expected Piper and Paul to be the weird ones with the really interesting program choices, and they're not really giving me that anymore, which is not really what I would hope to see.
I wonder if them not being, like, as out there anymore is to do with them being now the top team in Canada. Whereas before they were behind, like, Weaver and Poge and Tessa and Scott, so they had more room to be edgy, and whereas now they're expected to constantly hit. So if they pick, like, music and stuff that's a bit safe and boring that they know the judges will semi-react to.
I'm really sad to say, like, I don't really like their programs, because they've always been, like, one of the teams I always enjoyed watching, but we shall see how things go in the individual event. Ah, just some good news, though.
A round of applause for Maddie.
Oh my gosh, she like killed it, like straight up killed it. The Canadian media have put so much pressure on Roman and Maddie in this team event, and I am honestly so disappointed in just all media. All media sucks.
The media for this team event have been awful.
Just across the board, like, for all the countries, like, the American media was calling out Vincent and Karen for, like, dumb reasons. You have the Canadian media calling out Roman and Maddie. Like, this is not it, guys. Like, Canada was not winning a medal here. It's just really disappointing from that. These are, one, this is the media talking of, in a lot of cases, about minors not doing as well as they want them to do, and putting more pressure on their shoulders to skate clean, to score high, so their countries can get more medals. And we've seen, like, what media pressure can do historically, like, not just at the Winter Olympics but the Summer Olympics, and it's just, this cycle happens over and over and over, and media never seems to learn that it's their fault.
I think the biggest issue for especially the Canadian team was because they were coming into this team as technically the reigning champions of the team event. I think locals and media were like, oh, like, they won it last time, they can win it again, but they're failing to recognize that the majority of that national team last time have retired, and the team this year is nowhere near as strong or developed. There's so much less experience.
Anyway, Maddie deserves to be just given, like, all of the renown by Skate Canada, because she honestly saved the event for them. So yes. Go you, Maddie.
Pay her university tuition.
Okay, let's, like, briefly talk about Canadian pairs. Here is another place where we are, once again, don't agree with the Olympic team that was chosen.
So Evelyn Walsh and Trent Michaud have been solidly, I'd say, the second Canadian team for the past few years behind Murtaugh and Marinaro. They've solidly performed when they've had to. They've been silver at nationals the past few seasons, and they were glanced over by the Canadian selection committee in favour of James and Radford. For people who don't know, James and Radford are a new team this year. But even here at the team event, they still submitted James and Radford after they had a bad collision in the practice with the Italian pairs team. And with the team event, if you've submitted a decision, you can't switch out an athlete. And Vanessa did look as if she was hurt very badly.
It is also important to point out that James and Radford were at fault for the collision that happened in practice with the Italian pair. Nicole and Matteo did have right away. It was their run through. And there were multiple different media reports from reporters that were present at practices throughout the week that there had been close calls with them at least three times during the week. So the unofficial reason that Skate Canada did send James and Radford over Walsh and Michaud was because of James and Radford's higher ceiling for their scoring potential. But if you look at the results of this team event, James and Radford were 4th out of 5 with the lowest PCS, and that's with a basically clean program where they only scored 130. So you have to wonder whether it was worth sending them over Walsh and Michaud, who have been a solid team for Skate Canada over the past quad. They've been 12th now at 2 Worlds. They do have the potential to be top 10 if they put out 2 great programs. They were bronze at the latest 4 continents. They are going to be the next team that Skate Canada are going to have to depend on when some of the older teams, Murtaugh and Marinaro and James and Radford, retire. So it would have been a great idea to give them this Olympic experience and hopefully let them have momentum for the next quad, where hopefully they'll be able to solidify their position as top 10.
Moving on to our final medal contender, China.
So for men's, we had Boyoung Jin, who still has the best quadlets in the world.
This was honestly one of the best outings I've seen from Boyoung in a while, so I'm very happy. I hope that he can use these 2 skates as the opportunity to work out whatever nerves he has so he can do well in the individual event. This is a home Olympics for him, so there is a lot of pressure on all of Team China here to do really well.
It's been a really up and down quad for him. He's had some really, really bad performances. He's had some really, really good ones. So I'm just happy that no matter what happens in the individual, he can go home with 2 skates he can hopefully be proud of from a home Olympics.
Next, Wang Liu, who were able to skate their free dance this time. In Pyeongchang, they did not qualify for the free dance, so we only saw them skate their short dance. So really excited to see them, really happy that they once again have the opportunity to compete and represent China at their home Olympics.
The free dance is really lovely.
Yeah. It's really, really, I really love their costuming. And then it's a real homage to China, so I'm happy they get to skate it in front of a Chinese audience, even though there's not really much of an audience here. Now back to sad news. Yi Zhu, also known as Beverly Zhu, who used to be a skater for the US and has since switched to China, and was able to represent China here in the team event. She did not have the best outing here. And what is really appalling is how Beverly has been treated by the media, by folks on social media, and it's absolutely disgusting. People from the US are calling her a traitor. People from China are demeaning her for not living up to expectations. And all around, it's just not been a happy time for her. So I really just want to send her all the love and support.
I just hope it hasn't affected her overall Olympic experience. And I just hope she has a better go of things in the individual event. And it's just, there's been so much hate spewed at all of the athletes, a lot of the athletes from this team event, but Beverly has just gotten it in such appalling levels from so many different sides and so many different places. It's it's so unnecessary. Like, it's a sport. If you don't like it, tune out.
I think a lot of people forget that she's, like, a human being. She's not just a representative that you are seeing on the screen. She has, like, actual emotions, and she is, like, doing her best out there. The reason why she's representing China is because China does not have a strong women's skating program.
Also, a lot of people are forgetting that she never represented the USA internationally.
At the end of the day, I wish her the best. I wish her, like, 2 clean skates for the individual event. Swan Han!
Yay! Better news.
Oh my god, Swan Han, world record, thank the Lord, thank the gods, thank everybody.
It was exactly what they needed from this team event.
Yes, yes, they needed to beat Mishina and Galiamov, and they did. And they beat them with a world record. Literally the momentum they needed for the individual event. Hopefully we can see them continue to do well and maybe break their world record again in the individual event. Honestly, Sui and Han, like, are just perfect in every way. They shouldn't be beat. Mishina and Galiamov are nowhere near close to their level of performance ability, skating skills, chemistry. I don't understand what the judges see in Mishina and Galiamov. They're not even the best of the Russian pairs. But I digress. I'm just really happy to see Sui and Han again. It's been a quad filled with lots of, like, injuries on their part, and we haven't had the opportunity to see them as much as we'd like to see them. So, especially with COVID and China playing it extremely safe with their skaters, as they should. So, I love their short program. I love their free program. They're going to do amazing.
Nothing but the best vibes. Only best vibes.
And then Peng and Jin, who I'm always happy to see. I love Peng and Jin. I think they're, like, my soft spot, like, team. Because, like, they were so cute in Pyeongchang. I don't know if you remember their Pyeongchang, like, program, but it was the cutest thing.
Seeing how much they've came from them and how they've grown now to be one of the top teams is so remarkable, and it's been such, like, a journey to watch.
I'm so proud of, like, their growth in the past quad. Like, it's truly been a sight to behold, and I am really excited to see them. They did have some misses here in the free skate that I'm sure they will learn from, and hopefully they've worked out the nerves and we'll be able to see them put out performances that they are proud of in the individual event.
Yes, pairs isn't for another 2 weeks, so they have time to go through things in training and figure out what they need to work on, and I'm excited.
So one thing that I would like to talk about is the timing of the team event. Because the team event is the first figure skating competition of the Olympics. But I feel like I would argue that, like, it should be the last event as, like, a celebration of, like, the rest of the events.
It's like, hey, you've competed, have some fun now.
One, you're, like, tiring out the skaters before their actual individual events. Like, literally, like, the men are skating tonight, like, 2 days after.
Please don't remind me.
Also means that, like, in, like, the team event, some top contenders actually don't skate in it. Like, I wonder who I'm referring to. I wonder who turned up to Beijing, rolled up to Beijing a day before his program. Anyway, it would give bigger name skaters, like, the incentive to, like, actually participate because they're, like, done with, like, the individual event. But it's also, like, the team event seems like really an afterthought. Like, it's a very new event. This is, as we've said, the third year it's happened. So it doesn't really need to be first in line, especially when, like, we see skaters, like, skate all the time. But it is, like, at the end of the day, still a pretty dangerous part. And we want to, like, minimize, like, any risk that the skaters will face before, like, their actual competition.
Also, the decision to have the team event first in a pandemic when you had groups of skaters crushed into a tiny kiss and cry box is a choice.
Like, obviously everyone was, like, mad.
Oh yeah, like, it's no one done anything wrong per se. It's just a choice by the organization committee, because at least if it's after the individuals, and, like, look at Vincent Zhou, who's now tested positive after skating in the team event. If stuff like that happens, they've done the individuals, Whereas now that, like, doing the team event first, if COVID runs rapid through those kiss and cry boxes, that's everyone out from the individuals.
Yeah, I think there's, like, some pros and cons. Like, obviously, like, on the flip side, like, after individuals, skaters will be tired too, and, like, team event is, like, the opportunity for some of these skaters to get an Olympic medal, so it is, like, a question of, like, where the priorities are for, like, the countries as well.
Also, what we see a lot from the team event is, like, we talk a lot about the momentum, where, like, skaters who have a great skate in the team event, if they go on to have a good skate in the individual, if you look at, like, Yuzu had a good skate in the team event at Sochi, and then another great skate in the individual event, like, it makes you wonder about the momentum that happens from one, the confidence of getting one down to the other.
Yeah, the momentum is really important for a lot of the skaters here, especially for, like, a lot of the newcomers to the scene, too. The younger skaters, this is one of, like, their first major competitions, so getting, like, a good result in the team event will help them get, like, probably a higher score in the individual event. It's a balancing act. There's no real, like, good answer to whether or not team event should be first or the last event. It definitely shouldn't be in the middle. That would be dumb, but...
What I would, like, love to see from the team event would be, like, you know the way, like, the Youth Olympics have their team event? The mixed NOCs? Mm-hmm. I feel like that would be a really fun idea to do with the seniors.
Yeah, that would be cute.
Could you just imagine, like, a team of, like, Nathan Chan, Sasha, and then, like, the most randomest of pairs teams? Like, it would just, the different mix-ups of the teams would be really, like, interesting to see.
Like, team event was created to, like, help, like, foster community and, like, between all the countries, so that would definitely help foster community and friendship, so.
Something to look into.
Maybe you should put that idea forward to the IOC.
Do they have a suggestions form?
I'm sure we could find one for you, Niamh.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for listening. We hope to see you again for our next episode. If you want to get in touch with us, then please feel free to contact us via our website, intheloadpodcast.com, or on Twitter. You can find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Also, thanks to our transcribing and quality control team, and for Evie editing, and Gab for all of our graphic design. If you enjoy the show and want to help support the team, then please consider making a donation to us on our Ko-fi page. We would like to give a huge thank you to all the listeners who have contributed to our team thus far.
You can find the links to all our social media pages and our Ko-fi on our website. If you're listening on iTunes, please consider leaving a rating and review if you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening. This has been Yogita
and Niamh.
See you next episode.